My name is Amy Purdy. After losing both of my legs at the age 19, I bounced forward to become a three-time Paralympic medalist, one of Oprah's top 100 thought leaders, a New York Times bestselling author, a Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and a world-renowned motivational speaker. I also host this podcast, Bouncing Forward, where I invite the most inspiring and motivating people on the planet to talk with me about what it takes to survive, thrive, and figure out the possibilities. This is the third of a four-episode special series called We Have a Goal. During these four shows, I am introducing you to some really incredible people addressing big global issues like peace building, equality, inclusivity, and sustainability using sports. I am so honored that the International Olympic Committee has asked me to introduce you to these amazing young leaders. I promise that you will leave each episode inspired and encouraged. I want to take a second to acknowledge Panasonic. Panasonic is the founding partner of the IOC Young Leaders Program, and they are the sponsors of this episode. They are absolutely committed to giving the IOC Young Leaders support to not only do great work, but also to share it with the world. Thank you, Panasonic. Today, I'm going to introduce you to three remarkable IOC young leaders that are focused on inclusivity. Omar from Egypt, Tanya from Malaysia, and Paniz from Sweden are each shining a light on the need for inclusion of all abilities in sports. For them, creating an inclusive sports space for everyone, no matter what the ability or disability, is life-changing for all involved. Obviously, this is a very personal and important topic for me. As many of you know, I have two prosthetic legs, I lost my legs at the age of 19, and I found myself through the sport of snowboarding. In fact, I didn't even consider myself an athlete until I was 30 years old, when I decided to dedicate myself to making the Paralympic Games for the very first time. And you know, snowboarding didn't even exist in the Paralympics when I lost my legs. There wasn't a space for me or for anybody who was like me. And so like these young leaders that you'll hear today, I had to help create that space. My husband and I created an organization, and through it, we were able to help get snowboarding into the Paralympic Games for the very first time. As you'll hear today, when you create opportunities for people of all abilities, especially through sport, it shows the possibilities, and it absolutely changes the lives of all who are involved. Paniz is a Swedish badminton coach and tutor for the Badminton World Federation. Her project is called Parallel Play. The idea is to open training groups for athletes with different disabilities in existing badminton clubs. The project has established para badminton and special badminton in five badminton clubs. It's been a part of six different camps, and it has secured a total of 8 medals.
Hi, Amy. My name is Paniz Josefi. I'm from Sweden, born and raised in Uppsala, very close to Stockholm. And my project is called Parallel Play. It's about creating para and special badminton in Sweden. So I've been working as a badminton coach since 2012. I liked it because I love to see how someone can develop from not being able to play to actually be great in the sport. I thought it was so cool to be a part of that journey. But the reason I came up with this project idea was because I had another project before. It was about including refugees or people who are not so included in the society, in the sport. So I went to a place that was kind of considered as a rough place in Uppsala, with lots of criminalities and stuff. And after that project, I realized that sport really means a lot to people. So it's not just about including refugees or people with other backgrounds, is about including everyone. So when I did that, and I realized how people felt happier and had something to look forward to, I looked through how is the badminton today in Sweden. And my home club, Fyrisfjärden, they created para badminton and special badminton. Para badminton is badminton for people with physical disabilities, and special is anything from Down syndrome to ADHD that is very high. And I had a guy there, and I saw how his abilities became better and better. He could listen and he could almost answer my questions, but before I couldn't even communicate with this guy. And then I was like, why do we not have badminton for everyone? In a country like Sweden, that we're so great in project for inclusion, when it comes to para sport, everything, we're so good at it. It should be obvious. Like, I should be able to go anywhere and say, I want to play badminton. And they shouldn't say, oh, you're sitting in a wheelchair, or oh, you have a prosthesis or something like that. So that's how the idea came to me.
You're doing something that's so amazing because that's true inclusion. And I love the name of your project, Parallel Play. A lot of times people don't realize when it comes to like Paralympics or para sport, people think that that means paralyzed Olympics or paraplegic sport. But really what it stands for, like the Paralympics, that stands for parallel to the Olympics. So the fact that your project is called Parallel Play, I think that's just perfect.
Actually, the name Parallel Play, I was thinking like, I want the name to reflect the sport and the project, but at the same time, if I want to develop this even bigger, I don't want it to just be a badminton name. Parallel Play is more about you do everything during the day, daily lives, parallel with your prosthesis or your wheelchair or with your disability. So why not just play and have fun with your disability? So that's what the name comes from.
And that's exactly how I feel about my disability. It's something to challenge us and get creative with. And when you're amongst other people who have disabilities, you realize how lighthearted everybody can be and playful everybody can be. And so we all want to be a part of a program that represents us best. And I remember feeling when I first lost my legs, I wanted to get involved in different types of sports, but the names of the programs would actually kind of turn me off a little bit because sometimes it was like disabled sports and it was really heavily focused on the disability. And I thought, well, that doesn't feel like me. I just want to play sports. You know, I just want to play sports with everybody else. And so I love that you really put the thought into the name, and because I think that just that reflects the type of people that you'll have in your program. And you've accomplished quite a bit. So can you share some of the things that you've accomplished with the project?
Well, yes. When I started, actually, Corona came pretty quickly when I started. And in Sweden, we didn't have that many restrictions, but it was most of the restrictions for these groups because they are in the risk groups. But what we managed to actually do, I started this in September, October 2019. And in November, went for first competition in Finland. And it was very mixed, standing player, wheelchair players. And it was so cool to actually see how happy they were that they were actually able to compete and feel like, I can do this. And it was different ages. It was everything from 16 to 60. And I had so many incredible stories from that. I had one player, I think she's 60-something, but she told me that she was almost crying. She told me that she felt so included in the sport, in the competition, because when she was young, she was always told that she cannot do anything because she has a disability. And she said, for the first time, I didn't think that I had one. And that's exactly what I want. So I was planning a lot for 2020, but yeah, Corona came. So I tried to focus on having different kind of camps to get out the word. And during these camps, we mixed very much. And what's great with badminton is that you can mix gender and level and age. So it's really cool that we've been reaching so many people. And we had Swedish first competition in Mars that was international. And it was Täby Badminton Club that arranged it. And today, after summer, we're almost 12 badminton clubs that are working to have these para badminton and special badminton groups.
So you have classifications like all para sport. But when it comes to the training, like going back to the name Parallel Play, when it comes to the training, they're able to train alongside the non-disabled athletes who are training. And I think that's really important. when it comes to snowboarding. As far as the Paralympians go, we love when we can train alongside the Olympians, which just makes you that much better at your sport and as an athlete. I read that you are also getting involved, or maybe you've already been involved, but with prosthetics and orthotics as well. So are you a prosthetist, or are you going to school to be a prosthetist, or what's your involvement there?
So, before I was studying Master of Pharmacy in Uppsala, and when I started this project, I never knew anyone with a disability. I didn't know what to do, how to do. And I was thinking, I want to be able to connect my studies to my career. So I'm hoping that I can in the future make prosthetics and help athletes or people that not doing sport, but maybe can go into sport by this too.
Obviously, I've got two prosthetic legs, so I am always grateful for people like you who get fascinated with prosthetics as well, so that you can then help people like me. But that will also make you a better coach as well, understanding how prosthetics work and how they work with your athlete's body, or like what kind of challenges they're faced with. So I applaud you for going even deeper and being able to understand that the participants that you work with that much more.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I did this project from not knowing anything or having any kind of connection with people with disabilities. And I think that's something I always hear from people. No, I can't do that because I don't know anything, or I don't have someone with that. It's so far away from me, or it's not even my sport, something like that. I just want people to know that you can do anything. You can learn and you can read. You just need the passion to do it. So I think that's the most important thing, that don't look at the problem as a problem. Look at it as a challenge, and how can I win this challenge?
I'm going to ask you one last question. What does being an IOC young leader mean to you?
For me, it means networking. Of course, we get a lot of support. It's an honor to be able to be in this program. But I think the networking and the fact that I can have so many friends from so many countries that are working with the same passion, but in different areas, I think that's the coolest thing that I've been a part of, actually, in my life.
I love what Panise is doing. She didn't want people with disabilities, whether it's intellectual or physical, to be excluded from the benefits of sports. So, what a leader she is to create a program for them. I love that it's parallel. I love that the name is called Parallel Play, because that's important for everybody. That's what true inclusion is. It's not to have your own special category over there excluded from everybody else. It's about including everybody into a common space. And that is what creates impact. Omar is the International Table Tennis Federation Development Officer and an electrical engineer. Originally from Egypt, his involvement in para-table tennis inspired him to use sport as a tool to drive social inclusion. His Young Leaders project is to start a table tennis academy for people with disabilities, so participants who have any type of physical or intellectual disability can join.
Hi, Amy. My name is Omar Bastioni. I'm from Egypt. I work as a development manager in the International Table Tennis Federation. I joined the IOC Young Leaders program since 2021. And actually, what I'm trying to do here is to provide an opportunity for people with disabilities to practice sport in a safe and accessible environment. So what I'm trying to do is to start a table tennis academy for people with disabilities, which can provide them an equal opportunity. I want them to be engaged actively in their respective society. And we are aiming actually to have a weekly table tennis training sessions with all the participants. And we are welcoming everyone with a physical or intellectual disability. And also we are going to provide a classification for everyone in order to find them a good training system which fit their needs and support their development. So we are also providing like a fully accessible venue, a fully accessible equipment in order for them to be able to have an equal opportunity and practice table tennis as able body.
First of all, I just want to say that If I wasn't a Paralympic snowboarder, I've always said that I would play table tennis because it's so fun. It's so much fun. And it's so impressive watching athletes with disabilities, how they play table tennis. So can you share what inspired you to put this project together and why table tennis?
It actually all started back in 2015, I would say. I was still in college and I was an umpire for table tennis. But to be honest, I was involved in table tennis since I was 5 years old. I was a table tennis player and I was a table tennis coach. So this is why I chose a table tennis as my project. But it all started in 2015 when I was firstly involved in para table tennis and I had the opportunity to travel to the African Para Table Tennis Championship. This experience impacted me so much. I have seen how sport can empower people, how can it change their lives, how can it raise awareness, and most importantly, how can it can fulfill dreams to many individuals. I had this chance to see how athletes with disabilities overcome all the challenges and difficulties they have and successfully made the most of their life. So you can see the passion, you can see the motivation in the competition. It inspires me so much, to be honest. And since this tournament, I changed my whole career. I was so involved in para table tennis and it's now my full-time career as a development manager in the federation. So this is what I'm trying to provide for people in my community as well.
And I love how you said anybody can do it, you know, and that is what para sport is about. And it's got to be so hard if I'm thinking about, you know, being somebody who's in a wheelchair. And like you said, it is a skill and it is an ability, because if you can imagine, if you're in a wheelchair, you're pushing your wheelchair and you're paddling at the same time. That's got to be a big challenge. In fact, I've seen some table tennis players where they've got the paddle in their mouth and maybe they don't have arms or they're not able to play with their arms. But then that's what makes sports so amazing, is you grow as a person, as an athlete, because you're being challenged. And so I just love that you've focused on table tennis because it is a very accessible sport. So is that another reason why you decided to make this the focus of your project, that you can kind of bring table tennis anywhere?
Exactly. Table tennis can be played anywhere, and the scope also of type of disabilities that can participate in table tennis is very big, which is one of the main factors I decided to make my project very specially in table tennis.
Was there any specific moment or experience that made you want to focus on table tennis and people with disabilities?
Yes, there's one moment which changed a lot in my thinking or in my perspective. It was a closing ceremony in the International Para Table Tennis Tournament in Laško in Slovenia. I was there as a competition manager, and in the closing ceremony, it was amazing. Everyone is dancing with wheelchair, people with different type of disabilities. How can everyone is enjoying their lives and having a really great time and having fun, which is the most important part. So this particular moment was the most impactful moment for me.
How far do you want this project to reach?
So my hopes are very high, but as a start, of course, I am starting in my city in Alexandria. It is the second biggest city in Egypt. Participants can be from neighboring countries, but mainly it will be based here in Alexandria. But as I mentioned, I have high hopes. I hope if my project is successful, definitely I will try to make it a little bit bigger, maybe to reach also another cities as a beginning. Maybe hopefully in the future it can be in another country as well.
I mean, I'm just visualizing. That would be something that I would want to be a part of. So when I am not snowboarding, like for example, I have an injury right now. And so I haven't been snowboarding and I didn't compete in the last Paralympic Games. But I keep thinking, how am I going to challenge myself? Where do I focus my energy now so that I can grow and still be competitive? And I personally would love to be able to play table tennis and know that that's just kind of at my fingertips, that that's like in my community or there's a place that I can go and meet other people. So I hope that you can expand this into other countries. Maybe you've inspired me to bring it here. Who knows? Who knows? But Omar, what does being an IOC young leader mean to you?
So being part of a big goal to use sport as a tool of peace, promoting sustainable development goals is a very big thing for me and a key factor in my life, to be honest. The IOC Young Leaders Program has supported me so much in my personal development in every and each step of my project so far. So for me, IOC Young Leaders is a dream which came true, and I'm really glad to be part of it. To be honest, Amy, I'm a very big fan of your Paralympic career and also all the amazing work you've done. I know about adaptive action sport. It was really a great inspiration. So I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity and for giving me, of course, a platform to talk about my program.
As I mentioned in the interview, I love table tennis, even though it's something that I don't really play very often and I can't say I'm very good at. It's still such a fun game. I feel like anybody who's played table tennis would say the same. And to me, what's so impressive watching, say, the Paralympics or watching anyone with a disability play table tennis is how adaptable they are. It really shows how adaptable we all are when we get the opportunity and when we have the opportunity to play. Tanya is a sports dietitian and an ex-swimmer with a passion towards the development and well-being of all athletes. She has represented her country as the official dietitian for the Malaysian Olympic national team. She wants to create a series of leadership workshops that include both youth athletes with and without disabilities. The immediate outcome is for these youth athletes to gain knowledge, confidence, and networking opportunities related to leadership. Long term, we will have more inclusion of athletes with disability in leadership positions in sport and work organization.
Hi, Amy. My name is Tanya. I'm from Malaysia. And so my project is called the Inclusive Leadership Program, where I would have kind of a theoretical session as well as hopefully some practical sessions with individuals from all different backgrounds, including athletes with disability. And what we are going to do in this program is to cover four different cores, because we feel that as a leader, we need to have these four main modules, where we have sport values. We also need to take care of ourselves, our bodies, so healthy living. We are also including life skills, because we feel that throughout their athlete's career, they also learn different life skills that is translatable into their career life in the future. And finally, social competency.
There's really nothing better than having past athletes mentor the new generation of athletes. And I read that that's what your program will be doing.
Yes, you're right. So in my program, actually, for everyone who's part of it, the speakers, the moderators, our advisors, they all were from an athletic background, or they are still participating in sport. And that's the goal, because I want the young athletes to know that in the future you can be like that as well. You have so many mentors that you can choose from. And yeah, so that's the goal. And I hope that this program will be beneficial for them.
And so what inspired you to create it?
So, I mean, I don't have any disabilities myself, but I am a swimming coach. And I did have one student. She had cerebral palsy. And I have to tell you, she is really my biggest inspiration. I mean, she is someone with a disability, but she don't see it as a disability. She see it as a challenge, and she see herself as, you know, being equal and same with everyone. And she works really hard, and she feels that, hey, I can do it too. I brought her for competitions, and I felt that, you know, all the other athletes with disability, you know, at the competition, I felt that, you know, they all should be having certain opportunities or program that could help them in their organization in the future, because that's what we are lacking. Most of them felt that they are being left out, or they don't get this kind of opportunity. So my program mainly is really to give them this exposure and being able to be part of what the athletes without disability get to participate in.
How do you hope that this will impact the lives of not just the participants, but also society and your community?
I mean, because so this program is for athletes age 15 to 17, for athletes without disability. But for athletes with disability, I open it up the range a bit higher from 15 to 25. I mean, these are young athletes. They still have parents who they rely on. And so I hope that through this program, when the athletes, they join the program and they benefit from it, they can tell people. And also social media is one thing that as part of the program, I would want them to share. It's very powerful in Malaysia, word of mouth messages. So when kids, you know, when their kids join certain programs, which are good and helpful, you know, they would tell other parents, and hopefully this can help other people to realize that, hey, you know, if I have kids with disability, I have to give myself and my kid the confidence that they can do it too. Because this is also something that I realized in Malaysia, where if a parent have a kid with certain disability, they feel that they don't have the confidence that their child is able to succeed in life. So this is one of the, I guess, the ways or the messages that I hope to bring out as well. That's why I wanted this program to include both athletes with disability and without disability, because this can also help spread the message to the athletes without disability that, you know, I have friends with disability and they are so amazing. The things that they have gone through and how they are able to, you know, train and excel in life. This is what I hope both sides can see.
And I think that's so important. Like I said earlier, so everybody can learn and grow from each other. And then that kind of impacts the way society views people with disabilities. And like you said, if there's opportunities for people with disabilities, then maybe even the parents will start to have even bigger dreams for their children who have disabilities. So it kind of impacts all of society. What has been your biggest obstacle when implementing this project?
I mean, for last year, the virtual program, one of it is technology, because I actually reached out to a few organizations and they've mentioned that, oh, you know, their athletes might not be able to join because, you know, it's internet and, you know, to use a computer. If I want to do this in a physical session, we were going to use the National Paralympic Center, where we have all the facilities to us. But yeah, COVID was a challenge because that whole place, you know, is being closed up and we're not, I mean, it's not allowed for public to use, so.
Really? Oh yeah. Gosh, that seems like that would be an ideal location. So now you're looking for another location.
Yeah, so right now we're in the midst of looking for another location that is open. We're looking for that and also looking for a place where it's accessible for athletes with disability as well. But the National Paralympic Center would be perfect.
Yes,
that was in my plan.
Hopefully they'll be able to open up for you. That seems like it would be ideal.
I hope so. I hope so this year.
How can listeners support your program or would just follow the progress of it?
So I have Facebook page as well as the Instagram. It's ileap.my, ileap.my. And it stands for Inclusive Leadership Program Malaysia. I hope it's not too complicated, but yeah.
It's not, no. This goes into my last question, which is, what does being an IOC young leader mean to you?
You know, it's quite like a dream come true. being in this project, we have so much support from the IOC Young Leader. I mean, every month we have expert sessions. We have people like you to inspire us. I mean, it has been a great journey so far, and it has really helped. I mean, all of us have so many ideas and we bounce it off each other all the time. For example, like Omar, he sits on table tennis, para table tennis, and you know, he's asking, so, hey, you know, what do you think about the name of my program? Is it good? And so we have so much support from each other. Being able to lead this program in Malaysia, to be the first one to be selected to be part of this program, I'm really happy, and I'm really proud, and I hope that I can really give back to the society. And I'm very happy that through the IOC Young Leaders Program, I'm able to do that.
The other day, I spoke a bit about something called ableism on my Instagram page. And I feel like a program like hers combats ableism, because ableism is this idea that people with disabilities aren't capable. It's kind of this old school way of thinking because, you know, look, many, many years ago, people with disabilities didn't have the opportunities that they have today. And it's so interesting to be a person with a disability who's accomplished and to sometimes see that part of society and to think, oh my gosh, this way of thinking still exists. And so I feel like what better way to combat ableism than to put non-disabled people with people with disabilities together? Because then you start to see just how capable we all really are. And so that right there shows the importance of sport and inclusion. These IOC Young Leader projects are way bigger than just supporting their communities. So I just want to say thank you to the International Olympic Committee and the young leaders who joined me today, Tanya, Paniz, and Omar. I am so proud of the work that you are doing. You are bringing sport to people of all abilities. And like every young leader that has been a part of this series, you recognize that change, acceptance, and exposure that starts in sport will make a huge impact on individuals and communities on a broad level. Thank you once again to Panasonic. They are the founding partner of the Young Leaders Program, and we appreciate their continued commitment to supporting positive change all over the globe in so many important areas. More information and links are available in the show notes of this episode. Please make sure, if you loved today's program, that you subscribe to Bouncing Forward so you don't miss any of our future episodes. And if you use Instagram, I would love to hear from you and know what your thoughts are. Thank you for listening to We Have a Goal, a special series of Bouncing Forward.